everyone. My name is Amy Al-Khatib. Today I'm here with Jamie Scotto-Cataya, and she is the founder and CEO of JSA. So welcome, Jamie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amy, for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Today we're here to talk about going green and being green and sustainability. So one of the reasons that we ended up here today is because I, you know, had made the announcement about Code Green and what Mission Critical is doing to kind of raise awareness of the need for sustainability. And you guys have recently published a book that relates to sustainability. So can you talk to me about the book? Tell me what it's called. Tell me who was involved with it and why you guys decided to do that.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. And as soon as I saw your podcast on your Code Green launch, Amy, I was thinking she dyed her hair to green to get folks to talk about sustainability and have meaningful conversations on going green. Like, that is a woman I want to connect with and know more. She seems as dedicated as I am and as the 24 authors of our book, Greener Data. So again, thank you for having me on here and a chance to talk about Greener Data. This book was fast in the creation. We had about 5 months to pull it together. So the information in here is hyper fresh, literally top of the line, high tech tools and processes on how to get our facilities greener. Right now, as soon as possible, there's actual case studies in here to give us guidance on how we can seek inspiration and get more greener even in our own facilities today. The 24 authors are across the globe. We've got folks from Ireland and Finland to Hong Kong and Singapore to Middle America. Utah's in here. Real world examples from around the world to really talk about how to get our critical network infrastructure, our data centers, and the infrastructure it includes more green. And, you know, the main goal of this book is I told my 24 authors, hey, you have a month, 3,000 words. How can we get our data greener today and together? And they all responded in their own perspectives. It's really a beautiful book to be this multiple author structure, because there's so many different ways to act. So if it doesn't work in your neck of the woods, you know, skip to the next chapter and you'll find even more inspiration, or you can take it and massage it for your own logistics your own ways of doing business. You know, this includes also reducing carbon emissions, enhancing biodiversity, harnessing the power in people and resource management, leveraging hardware and software innovation and the combination of both, investing in sustainable projects, facilities, partners. You know, there's actual ways to get greener and make more profits. And these are the types of conversations that our chapter authors really explore and lay out in a meaningful way. So, and really it's about providing definitions, tools for universal and impactful measurement and transparency. So we all know globally how committed we are and what we're doing to get there together.
That's really neat. I like the idea of having a lot of authors come together and, you know, like you mentioned, there are a lot of different options or solutions that are available to different facilities regionally. So, but even though one technology or one solution might not work in, say, like a West Coast location, the same as it does in East Coast, it's still really educational to learn about what other people are doing, because that's where like innovation comes from, right? You see the way somebody's doing something and then you're like, oh, maybe we could do this a little bit differently to serve our needs. And then all of a sudden you have a solution that fits what you needed. So I do like that. And I know just myself and talking to different people around the world and hearing about all of the different technologies that they use, it really is interesting. So I definitely would like to take a look at that book one of these days, but I haven't yet. But I am in contact with some of the authors on it, and I know everybody's very excited about it. So congratulations. You know, 5 months is not the longest time to really put a project like that together, but obviously you can tell that everybody was passionate about it and dedicated and, you know, felt a need for this to be done. So, what was your ultimate goal? Because, you know, just having people be more educated about sustainability or about the need for it is very important, but that isn't the, that's not like the end goal of what we're working towards. We need actual actions and changes. So, what were you guys hoping to accomplish with this project that you worked so hard on?
Yeah. And when I say 5 months, I'm like from inspiration to, hey, it's launched. And the inspiration, the focus for Greener Data, really started because, in the last 2 years during the pandemic, I had a baby girl.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's my world. She's amazing. And I'm staring down at her and can't believe, like, she's just a gift from God. I can't believe I've been so blessed. She's our miracle baby. And, you know, I'm thinking, what type of legacy am I providing her? This earth, this crazy world we're in right now, it's not sustainable. And so mom worries on top of, I read in a report by IEA stating that approximately 2.5% of global energy is used serving data centers and data transmission networks. That's our business. That's what we've been dedicated to promoting here at JSA since inception 17 years ago. So I was like, 2.5% of global energy consumption is coming from our data center and data transmission networks, our infrastructure. Oh my goodness. And then it said, it's projected that it'll rise to 8 to 10% by 2030. That's insane. And 2030 is a short time from now. So, you know, we could be responsible for 10% of the global energy consumption. That's crazy. Just data centers alone, by the way. And so that got me feeling very responsible. I've dedicated again my career to promoting news on our industry. And then I thought, you know, that when I look at things, and I'm an optimist, and I hear numbers like that, I think, okay, well, that's a problem, that's a challenge, but, you know, that means there's a way to turn it into opportunity and a success story if we do it well and do it together. And I am not smart enough, and I don't think I could handle like turning data green me myself, but I certainly have heard. I've been very privileged to be in the room with some amazing people who are innovating and across the world, you know, in each of their own silos, in their own companies. They're doing so many amazing things. And of course, we have NDAs and we can't announce news before it hits. But I was hearing about innovative plans and deployments of going green on our client calls. And so I was thinking, gosh, if we could break down these silos, break down these the company by company initiatives and become truly global citizens, sharing, not competing, that we can together reduce that resulting carbon footprint from 2.5% global energy consumption and really turn it into an opportunity to show the rest of the business world blueprints on how to get green fast. And this has to happen fast. I mean, that's also the huge consensus of all these chapters is the time is now, and again, a salute to your podcast as well. Our industry is at the very heart of this. Our industry, as you know, powers so many other industries. And the pandemic in particular really exacerbated the situation, greatly advancing the timeline of many businesses' digital transformation. Again, so many articles, mission critical writes about. So stakes are high right now, and time is certainly ticking. And if we can fix our immediate 2.5% and get some really great case samples out there and educate the world, then we can also affect our partners and our second and third degree businesses that we help digitally transform, and we can make an even more meaningful contribution to global energy consumption. So, you know, we're at the heart of this, and what we do matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I read a lot about the energy consumption in the industry, and I'm well aware of the severity of the situation. And I wonder, I was just thinking when you were talking about that, it reminded me of this symposium that I went to in Toronto a few years ago at my old magazine. It was HVAC magazine. And the guy was talking about, like, their main thing was for sustainability also. Like, they have a really big push for sustainability. So the guy was talking about this grocery store and how they presented this option for him to have a new HVAC system installed, and, you know, like, what, how it would save energy and how it would help save money. But really, for some reason, people aren't as concerned about, like, the actual saving energy. They're more just concerned with, like, saving money. So I think that's one of the big barriers that we have to break down, and where a lot of people won't do things that are good for the environment or that are considered a sustainable investment if they don't get something out of it, you know? So the way they convinced this grocery store to put the system in, because they were very, very against it, and it was, no matter how it was presented, they were saying no, but the people knew that it was a better option. So they put pictures of two shopping carts filled with groceries, like a mound on top of it, you know? And then they said, if you put the system in, like, you'll save the money of these, like, this much money every hour or something, you know, equivalent to two shopping carts full. So if you don't put the system in, you have to sell two extra carts like this every hour to make up the money. And so, because that was, like, a relatable term for them and they could visualize it, then it made sense to them. But before that, the numbers, like, no matter what they presented, nothing made sense to them until they could see it that way. And so, I feel like, you know, there's some sort of, we have to put, like, some sort of effort into teaching people why they need to care about sustainability and not just money. And I'm just sort of wondering if you have anything like that in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jennifer von Bismarck is one of our authors, and she wrote a chapter called Data and Its Role in the Sustainable Investing Ecosystem. And basically what I learned from Jennifer is that there are investment firms who are 100% dedicated to greener projects, only investing in greener projects. Her firm in particular, that's 100% of its focus. There are so many others who have ESG projects as one of their main pillars, or, you know, main things that they look for. Also these days, there's more ways to earn credits and incentives for going green. Our book talks a lot about that as well. So you can really create plans that will get you greener quicker and get you more profitability. Another thought in the book as well was, you know, clients are also, thank goodness, our mind shift has especially in during the pandemic, perhaps, we've really gotten a lot more aware of our global climate crisis. And so customers are willing to even pay more for a greener option. And they're coming to our data center saying, you know, hey, show me your carbon facts, your footprint, and how are you helping? Because I want to only be putting my equipment and empowering my business through facilities that are indeed following the core values that we follow. And of course, the high tech companies, the Googles, the Facebooks,
Facebook.
I know, Meta. But they've been doing this and doing it really well, and forcing our data centers and our partners to really think about it. Everything from, hey, just source out your materials and shipping and equipment technology locally. And that will also save on carbon emissions. So, you know, it's not just our data centers, but it's also our partners and our clients all looking at this right now with a really, you know, interesting lens to really be hyper-focused, hyper-aware, because we're all incentivized now to get greener. The world has changed a bit. And so, yeah, there's real dollars to getting green. You can get green dollars with going greener, which I think is going to be another chapter of one of my friend's blogs. It's definitely worth reading about because you know, I also can't help to think that there's more of an urgency than ever before, not just for incentives, but for really the Earth's sustainability. Just the Monday before, the IPCC, which is a UN-led panel of scientists and scholars, came out with this really dire warning. I don't know if you saw it, but basically, essentially, they concluded it's pretty much impossible at this point to reach our climate goal of keeping the planet's average temperature from rising more than 1.5% degrees Celsius above its pre-industrial level. So, you know, that's what we decide in Paris, that, hey, you know, we cannot go over this 1.5 degree Celsius warming, because, by the way, if we do, we're talking like, you know, dire famines, droughts, apocalyptic disasters, like economies and civilizations just failing, breaking down, like stuff we don't want happening, clearly. And this IPCC group came out and said, yeah, still technically on paper, it's feasible that if we take dramatic action right now, we can achieve this, but it would need institutional change to achieve such a technical transition. And there's no historical precedence of it in humanity. So we're declaring this basically probably not going to happen. And as a mom, again, I can't help but to relate it to being a mother. I found that beyond frustrating and just incomprehensible. Like I'm not going to say, oh, well, let's throw our hands up. I guess, again, like you're talking about my children and their children's livelihood. There's, you know, it's not just the sustainability of Earth, it's the sustainability of our families. And, you know, I just can't accept this as a mother. So if we're going to do this movement, it has to happen now. And this is a movement. This is not just a book. This is a movement. And this can't be, you know, in 2030, 2050. This has to happen now in order for us to even make our goals for 2030, 2050. We need real plans in place, not just, we were thinking of that too. And so that's what I love about this book. It really is actionable insights globally and you know, things that you can read about and say, yeah, you know what, I can easily do that. Some examples, for example, one of our writers talk about stranded capacity, that there's up to 60% of capacity that data centers and its tenants plan for that never get used. Wow. And so even if we sort of reduce some of that cushion, obviously we don't wanna, you know, run over and max out for sure, but 60% is insanity. And so even if we just start to use a little bit more of this stranded capacity, we don't have to build new all the time. We can actually make more of our existing facilities that are in play. Also decreasing the amount of test loads, you know, monthly we're turning these systems on and testing them. Why? You know, do you test your sprinkler system this much, you know, like once a week, every summer? You don't need to, let's think about the carbon emissions that are coming from every time we're running a test load and think about ways to do it less frequently and still feel again, like, you know, your systems are up to par. Our friends over at BDX, Brahm Singh, the CEO, wrote a chapter where he talked about his 360 degree view that just launched, a SaaS platform that is really measuring PUE, power usage efficiency, CUE, carbon usage efficiency, as well as COP, coefficient of performance. So he's doing that through blockchain technology, very secure way, and free for those who want to use it, just putting it out there so we can all sort of get a fundamental understanding of what how effective and efficient our data centers are running. And then iMasons, Dean Nelson, part of the book, shared their iMasons carbon facts stickers, which are really, really quite cool. I flagged the chapter, find it right here. I don't know if you can see it, but
It's like a nutrition label.
Yeah, exactly. Like what you would find on the side of a milk carton. But instead of like, you know, nutritional facts, it's carbon facts, the embodied carbon of the facility, including base construction, base electrical, base cooling, base ancillary. And it just adds up like, you know, okay, the embodied carbon is 1877 of this example. But having these carbon facts stickers for every data center that you're dealing with, showing this transparency. So iMasons have been doing such a phenomenal job in really identifying and defining you know, what we should be measuring and really allowing us to get a better sense of transparency in the industry. So really excited about his chapter. But like I said, there's also this social awareness and movement of action from our data center clients and tenants, from the big tech companies, and even to these mom and pop shops like we were talking about. Just, you know, there is a need that we should be more sustainable in our practices, in our products, in our solutions. And the book really does a great job of how we can harness all of this, the power of resource management, the power of the people and processes working within the system, within the data center, as well as our partners, our shippers, et cetera. And now more than ever, finding sustainable practices, leading with sustainable practices, to really move this needle. Because again, this is a movement led by of for our industry, and it needs to be, because we are responsible for 2.5. iMasons come out with 2.4%, which I like their number a little bit better. But still, it's there. We are responsible for all this energy consumption, which means it's in our power to address it and to get our carbon emissions down to as close to carbon neutral, if not carbon negative, as soon as possible. And we can do it. The innovators of our industry have always wowed me. The people who, when we did a call for authors, in 1 week's time, we had a complete book. I had too many authors and started to have to glean down the list. I mean, people care and people innovate, especially the people of our industry. And I'm really proud to be promoting this book and this movement with them right now. We also are launching greenerdata.net, our website, and really to continue that education and the promotion of success stories and sustainability within our industry. So check that out too, greenerdata.net.
That's really cool. I think that, you know, this is probably wrong, but you like to think that by now, people are doing basic things that we know about to be more efficient, like using motion sensor lights or motion activated sort of anything, or, you know, LED lights versus the old versions. But there are, you know, because we think about like using less power or using less water, so we can have those valves on our spigots that control how much the water comes out. But like I said, these are all like basic things that like people are doing in their household even. So that's not like an industry level high technology energy efficiency movement there. When you were working on this book with these authors, what are some of the creative ways that you learned from them that people can improve their sustainability? Because I hear I hear ideas from people occasionally that it's like, that's not the typical way that people approach sustainability. And so how can other people benefit from doing this? Like, even just one person I was talking to, they said one of the important things about sustainability is having a diverse workforce, because, you know, then you get, just kind of like your book, you get a perspective from all over the world and all backgrounds and all life experiences. So maybe I've been through something like weird once where I realized a certain thing can make air cooler than, you know, in a different situation. So, you know, a lot of inventions come from mistakes or accidents, and having a diverse workforce is a tool for sustainability in some people's strategies. So you won't find that in everybody's strategy. So what are some of those like unique approaches to sustainability that you learned about from the authors here?
Yeah, and like three chapters like popped into my head as you were asking that question. Lee Kirby, his chapter pops up because he really specializes in training people globally to help manage
from Salute Mission Critical.
You gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he in his chapter, it's all about not only harnessing these amazing people who have diverse backgrounds and a lot of them veterans who are incredibly detail oriented and can you know, zero in on the task and deliver and you know, train to perform and complete and incredible managers of our data centers. Some of our clients, many of our clients utilize Lee's services globally in all their facilities. So they know no matter where, what country that they're putting a facility in, they still have that same same training and expertise no matter where they're going, that brand consistency. And so Lee's chapter is about harnessing not just the people, but also the processes that you set out, having a very clear, like, this is exactly what your day is like, and making being green part of that daily practice, and harnessing, going down through all of those practices and saying, you know, do we need this as frequently as we do? And can we look at this a different way? Are there other vendors that can service us that are indeed more local or are utilizing less energy consumption? Are we able to tap into solar here? So, you know, sort of going through by a checklist perspective and getting greener in our practice and refining it further every month. But then I was also thinking about Wes Swenson of Nova Data Centers, and he created in Utah, this incredible brand new data center campus, which is so state of the art, and his attention to architecture and technology, you know, every time I talk to him, my mind gets blown. It's like amazing. But even like factored in the shade and the degrees to build the facility, so he's leveraging the shade for cooler. Natural cooling systems. He increased his floor height. So there's a circular cooling airflow. He has a robot that goes, a robot dog that goes along the facility and can sense when temperatures are off or you know, any breach in how a particular area should be. Obviously, like you were mentioning, there's some common practices that we've been doing for a while now in our industry, like, you know, keeping only certain aisles or containments cool versus other ones which run warm. So managing all that and making sure that you know, a degree or two is critical, and knowing that things are operating and sort of downloading in this main I guess the dog goes back and clicks in and like downloads to the operating system. And it was just incredible the amount of technology out there that we're leveraging. He also has drones that fly over the campus. I mean, just crazy. Every little degree of how he built the facility is based on how can we get more sustainable. And then, you know, you think about FICOLO too, these guys earned the Greener Data Center Award, highest accolades possible in Europe for their sustainability and creating their data centers from the ground up, actually underground. One of their facilities is leveraging an old military cave, and they built a data center in there. So again, you sort of get a great sense of how we're all approaching it. Singapore, incredible. So from different parts of life, of the earth, of the locations, getting a sense of how we're using the tools and the resources around us to better manage. And then I'll tell you, Bill Clayman from Switch wrote a phenomenal chapter, and he gets so about, he's just brilliant to talk about, like, where do you see this going in 5 years from now? And he even refers to in Japan that they're doing data centers in water, out in sea. I will say this about our industry. We are a gathering of unbelievably innovative people. And, sometimes you look at the numbers and you're like, oh my God, we've already lost this race. But then I think of the people who challenge me and who have really invested their own lives and expertise into finding a better mousetrap. And these guys and gals, I think there's still a chance for us because of these folks. They are so innovative, so creative, and they refuse to take no for an answer. And I would say the authors, which I'm so excited, you know, who participated in Greener Data, it's just the tip of the iceberg too. Like, our industry is creative and if the world is in their hands, I feel a little safer. And by golly, it is. So hope that answers some of your questions.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. I like I told you, I'm a nerd. So I like I like learning about all different stuff, and I like people's creative ideas or creative approaches to different problems. I think it's really interesting. So I think, you know, with one of the things that you were talking about with Lee, in the importance of like a sort of like a process or a protocol for sustainability, our industry has so many things that we follow by protocol. Yeah. And so I think it's only natural that sustainability practices become one of them, where maybe they aren't now, but it will just slowly be incorporated more into the daily life of not just the facility, but the employees as well, I think, because you're just regular people are starting to have the sustainability conversation more. And you sort of alluded to earlier where there's companies that are doing things because their clients are demanding it. And it's a slow ball rolling, because I know even I used to work in hotels. So this was, you know, at least like 7 years ago, but we had things that we could do. It wasn't like really enforced that much, but we could fill out these long questionnaires. And we could get, I think it was Greenleaf certified. So, you know, when we had an RFP for companies that wanted to have a contract with a hotel, some of them required that you had an environmental plan and that you were doing things to be more environmentally friendly. And that was one of the ways earning your like green leaf was one of the ways you could do it. I guess it's similar to something like say LEED buildings, but I don't know about you or if you have anything like this in your book, but I feel that part of it comes from part of the responsibility is for the organizations now, because, you know, their buildings, I know that the Green Building Council has talked about having like a recertification, but right now it's like you build your building and it gets inspected and then you get, you know, a LEED Gold certificate or, you know, whatever you get, but then nobody comes back to check to see how you're maintaining the building. And then there are customers that are choosing those companies based on that. And they think that they're sustainable and being efficient because they have the LEED certification. But they're not following what, like the actual protocol that they should for sustainability. And so how do the clients know? Because they don't work for these companies in these buildings. We have to rely on the certification. And I think something, you know, it's not like people are in and out of data centers like restaurants, but I remember, I think I was on the West Coast somewhere and your health department score was on, it was on the window of every restaurant.
Yes.
So it motivated people to be better because you wanted to have an A. Because maybe not everybody won't go to a B restaurant, but some people won't, you know, and everybody wants to go to the A restaurants. And it's like, you know, sort of like publicly shame, like when people shame their dogs on Facebook, it's like you, everybody is knowing that you made a mistake. So I think some sort of public announcement of it, like maybe something like the iMasons, like nutrition facts for data centers or, you know, something where it's all laid out there for other people to see and compare. And for then the customers to be able to choose the most sustainable data center and the facilities that are putting the investment into innovative ideas. So maybe they're like the Lone Rangers right now, and it might seem like they're wasting a lot of money into these, putting into sustainability efforts that not that many people are doing or care about, but it's going to be a necessity soon. It's like safety in cars. You can't be a car manufacturer and put out an unsafe car,
right?
Because nobody does that. So you have to stay like with the herd. And if we're all judging data centers on, you know, their carbon footprint and their sustainability practices, then one data center is going to lead the way and every other one is going to start to follow because they know that they have to, otherwise they're going to fall behind. So did anybody share any ideas on how we can sort of do that and have an accountability system?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, talking to you sparks like three different responses. And you said that so well, so I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks. Sometimes I feel like I'm blabbering, but
no. And you know, truly there's so much fraud, too, in the past 10 years or so, like for example, with these carbon credits, again, something that, Brahm Singh in his chapter from BDX, gets into, but there's a lot of fraud, you know, people claiming, you know, for example, they were running their facility at, you know, highest levels, and then they dropped and got some carbon credits for, oh yes, we reduced our energy consumption, and then and therefore carbon emissions, and so they got all these carbon credits, and then they go back to full capacity, or you know, so there's a lot of fraud activity because transparency on a global level and agreed upon level has yet to be 100% confirmed, and like LEEDs probably, as you're as you were alluding to, is probably the number one of them. But there's no rechecking and confirmation. I will tell you now that we have the technology to check, you know, globally, the carbon emissions, and so the countries that are claiming, yes, we'll get to this level by 2030, by 2050, and their carbon emissions are going up. We're like, and yet you're claiming all these carbon credits, like something is going on. And it, and as you could imagine, they're, it's happening a lot of countries that are where transparency in general is government controlled. And so you never know what the real deal is coming out of that country anyway. So there's a huge concern, that, you know, are we truly going to get transparent 100%, And we need 100% in order to tackle this. We need to be global citizens. I will say that iMasons, again, pointing to the Dean Nelson chapter in our book, has done an extraordinary job of coming up with ways for us to, like those carbon fact stickers, to clearly see from every data center that participates, they will, you know, we'll be able to really, as buyers, judge who are the data centers who are leading the charge and being transparent and telling us their facts and are working towards a sustainability goal. iMasons has a big announcement coming out next week at Data Cloud. So I'll just tease that up, like stay tuned. There's a lot more coming from that organization. Infrastructure Masons, as you know, is really a lot of data centers and tech companies working together to solve for diversity and inclusion, as well as sustainability. So many great initiatives that they're doing, getting younger kids who are interested in our industry, scholarships, getting them more educated about our industry. So I'm an iMason myself, and just very proud of the work that they're doing. And they are definitely leading the charge and getting that global consent and global transparency, and also working, you know, hand in hand with the organizations like LEADS who are trying to get a system in place, a measurement, and so we need to do this now and all together. To your point, and that's why we created Greener Data, the movement, not just the book. Because we're going to promote all the news to keep us as educated as possible as we wrap our heads around it and make a real difference quickly.
Well, I feel like, you know, we're both sort of in the words industry and the tech industry. So I feel like we could write a book together on sustainability, like just sitting here on this call, but I have a lot to say, and that's great, and I love talking to you. But I know you mentioned, I'm glad you sort of brought that up, like it's some, you know, something we need to do now, but it's an ongoing thing. So for you, you mentioned the Greener Data, greenerdata.net is the website you said, right? Okay, so yeah. So like what types of things are you going to be doing on there? Is it going to be webinars? Is it going to be like quizzes, just news stories, you know, a collection of all of that sort of stuff? And how can people use it? And what are your plans, you know, like, what are your plans moving forward? Why did you create that website? What are you going to be doing with, you know, your readers and your clients and the people in the industry to keep the movement going so that you don't just, you know, start something and abandon it?
Yeah, exactly. This is more than a book, it's a movement. So we needed a place online for sort of that 24/7 education and engagement. So yeah, greenerdata.net, you will find news. We have a phenomenal blog that will keep us up to date on the breaking headlines, what we're pulling right from wire feeds for any sustainability news in our industry. But we also have contributing articles from the authors and our community at large. We have podcasts and videos, roundtables, virtual roundtables, where we're getting the leaders on this conversation to weigh in. There's also going to be validated organizations. So part of our resources is going to be getting folks who organizations sustainability consultants, investment firms that are leaning into sustainability projects and funding those. So basically opening up our Rolodex and saying, by the way, these folks are just as serious about what we're talking about as we are. Here's the truth is getting green is not up to the politicians. Thank the Lord. Sustainability, it's not just a slogan for a particular party. It's real. It's imperative for our very survival. And we as business owners, as an industry, we need to take change and command, we need to take charge and command this change. So greenerdata.net is about what's happening right now and who are the people we need to connect to in order to get there faster. And again, it's our industry is really the core of it. And we should be the ones driving this. We are the ones driving this. The movement is from us, by us, and for the world. We are innovators by trade, and it's up to us to fight the fight that has been way too often forgotten about or inconvenient up to now, that this is a fight for survival. And as humanity, as one civilization, we need to unify quickly to make it through.
Imagine a world when everybody dyed their hair green.
That's what I'm saying.
Jamie, I think that what you guys are doing is great. I think the book is awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing it in person, and to seeing, you know, like how you guys continue that. I know you already mentioned like another book, as we were talking. So I'm sure that I'm going to get to watch this, this journey evolve for you guys, and, you know, maybe even, stay like a little part of it by keeping in touch with you and talking about it. But, obviously, you know, I dyed my hair green because like I wanted, I think it's important to raise awareness, and I did it, you know, in a personal way, because I think that is like the start of it. Nobody really like wants to be the way that they have to be for work when you're doing something like just because your job makes you, you know? So it's like when you already care about it and you're already doing things, and it's like customer service. Like if you're a miserable person, you're going to be a miserable customer service representative.
That's not the job for you.
You know? So like if you're very wasteful and whatever, like you shouldn't work in this industry. So I think it's like, we need to start with just like ourselves and decide what kind of people we want to be. And we can bring that into the workplace, which, you know, might be a data center or might be a manufacturing company or whatever it is, but something, you know, still connected to the industry, where it makes a difference. And, you know, it's funny because like, I think a lot of people, you think of these goals and, you know, being net zero by this date, and you look at where we are today, and it's very easy to think that it's impossible. And I've learned so many times that like, it's totally possible. You just have to keep trying. And so, I don't know what sort of, you know, experiences people have to learn that. Maybe I just learned it from past experiences where I thought things were impossible and they still happened, but, I never have that sort of outlook. And I know that there's other people out there with that outlook, and those will be the people that are putting huge efforts in. And once people see the results of their efforts, like they'll just fall in place with them, you know, that's how things work out. So, but thank you for, taking the initiative to kind of start that, movement and to maintain it, you know, with everybody who decides to join you. You have this group of 24 authors now, but that number is just going to be growing over the years or months, I'm sure. So I'm glad you had an overwhelming response with the call for authors. Like that's always exciting. You never really know how people are going to react when you have a new idea and you put it out there, but, that was all the questions that I had for you today. I really appreciate you taking the time, and you shared some really great information, and, I'm excited to see the book. I hope everybody else listening is. How do they get it? Do they go to greenerdata.net? Is it for purchase? Is it free? Like, what is the deal with the book?
Absolutely. It's on Amazon, a digital download and the paperback version. And all proceeds go to Direct Relief, which is a charity dedicated to the humanitarian and medical relief for Ukrainians. Good reason to buy it sooner than later, if not for the urgency of our movement. But I definitely I definitely urge folks, go to Amazon, go to greenerdata.net and click on buy this book. It'll take you to Amazon. But we definitely look forward to getting your thoughts. And by the way, we're going to send you one special. Well,
thank you so much. I will share my favorite parts with our readers here, and definitely I will look forward to that. So so I hopefully will be talking to you soon with some, you know, exciting updates about this and just new facts about sustainability and carbon for the industry, showing a decrease, hopefully. And, in the meantime, keep me posted on what you guys are doing and, you know, keep this sort of mentality, because like I said, it just takes a few people to have that optimistic outlook and like show people that, you know, impossible things can be done.
Well said. Thank you.
And for everybody listening, tune in next time to another episode.